Welcome to the Life and Legacy Show, where we discuss all things elder law, estate, and legacy planning. Hosted by certified elder law attorney Tim Seckler from the Seckler Law Firm. And now your host, attorney Tim Seckler.
Hello, welcome to the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great estate plans. My name is Tim Seckler. I am the host of the Life and Legacy Show, and thank you for joining us on today's episode, where I think we're going to provide some pretty useful information to you if you have a concern about long-term care and how you're going to get your care, where you're going to live. I hope you find this information valuable. If it's your first time joining us on the show, my mission here is to help you understand sort of this crazy government rule book we have regarding estates and elder law issues. And we do planning for people, retirees, young families, and everything in the middle. And so, but I, in my position, get to see good planning. You know, sometimes people come into our office for a review and they've got an excellent estate plan and it's, you know, look, great job. We don't have anything to do for you. More times than not, we find things that we got to fix in the estate plan. And so I'm here on this show, whether you're listening to us on the radio, on a podcast, or watching us on the video. You know, I do this show and I record it a couple of different ways and we use it a couple of different ways. One of which is my YouTube channel. So if you haven't subscribed to our YouTube channel, check us out, Seckler Law Firm. Or subscribe to this show as a podcast, and you don't have to be sitting and listening to it on the radio at the same time, same place every time. You can get it to you on your phone whenever you want it. I think we've done something like 65 episodes. If I can pat myself on the back, I think most of them are pretty helpful. Sometimes I'll confess I wasn't on my A game, but I think we got a good one here today. If you want to know more about the law firm, go to SecklerLawFirm.com, S-E-C-H-L-E-R, LawFirm.com. And if any of the things I'm talking to you about today make you want to consider doing or updating an estate plan, you can find a ton of resources on that website. Come to one of our free upcoming workshops, schedule an initial consultation, download one of our free guides, watch one of our pre-recorded videos. I throw a ton of content out there in the world with the theory that the more I educate people on this, the more they may appreciate what I'm talking about, the more they may come and see us. And so there's a ton of information out there on the website. And if it lands well on your ears, then, you know, come check us out. Come talk to us. We're nice folks. Today, what I want to talk about is an interesting situation. And I got to set the stage for this, but the title of this episode is going to be careful what you sign. And what I want to talk to you about here is the nursing home admission process. All right, now let's set the stage for this. So understand that there are different levels of care, right? So in the, sort of the common speak, people call it the old folks home, right? Or is in the nursing, or people call all of them nursing homes, but whether they're actually a nursing home or not, people sort of lump them all together. But I understand there's a couple of different tiers of care that could be provided to you in a facility setting. And the first lowest level of tier is independent living. Now, independent living, generally speaking, isn't really a care move. It's more a quality of life move. Okay, I'm done taking care of this grass. I'm done with the steps. I'm done cooking dinner. I want help with all of that stuff. I don't have the capacity to do that stuff like I used to. So sort of what we call the instrumental activities of daily living, or just people want a break and want to enjoy the fun things in life and are done with the mowing of the grass, right? I got a neighbor who swears he has fun mowing his grass. I don't believe him for a second, or he's sick in the head. I'm not sure which. But people get tired of this stuff, right? So independent living. The next is we'll throw the same tier of care, though they're technically different types of facilities, assisted living or personal care. Now, most at this tier of care in Pennsylvania are licensed as what are called personal care homes. Now, the thing to understand about a personal care home or an assisted living facility is we're now needing some help. Okay, so mom or dad may be a wander risk. Some of these places have a dementia unit, a locked dementia unit. I may need help with activities of daily living, like getting in and out of bed, showering, standby assistance for food, medication reminders. So now I need some help, right? That's personal care assisted living. In Pennsylvania, that's all private pay. All right. Now, you may be able to find some veterans benefits to help you with it if you happen to be a veteran, but more times than not, it's a private pay situation. So anywhere from $5,500 to $8,000 a month, depending on the tiers of care. Now, when you get up to those higher tiers of care, I need more help. Then you can start taking a look at what we call skilled nursing facilities. And when we're talking about a skilled nursing facility, this is truly the nursing home, okay? Nursing homes in Pennsylvania, the skilled nursing facility, the average cost of a skilled nursing facility is a little over $11,000 a month, $11,000, right? And that's generally for a semi-private room. I'm paying $11,000 a month and I got a roommate, right? And this is the care setting where we talk about a lot because this is where people go broke in a hurry, right? Now, what's interesting is this highest tier of care is also where you can get Medicaid benefits to help you pay for it if you follow the rules. So there are lots of complicated Medicaid rules. I've put a ton of information out there. We have a free Medicaid downloadable guide on our website at secularlawfirm.com. There's a free Medicaid workshop you can watch. If you want to understand how the system works or come to one of our live in-person Medicaid workshops. We do them, generally speaking, every other Friday morning right in our office in Cranberry. It's super easy. Come in, ask me all the questions you want. I do it. Attorney Roxanne Julian in my office will do them some weekends, but it's great information. Just come check us out, but you got to register because they're either fill up or they're empty, and we got to figure out which one is which. People with these seminars tend to come in waves, but in any event, we'll give you the information. We're going to tell you how this thing works. Sometimes people hire us to help them make decisions, but There are lots of complicated rules, okay? Now, one of them, generally speaking, requires you to go broke before you go Medicaid. But in a process of what they call spending down, getting the assets down, see, the state would have it as you would go broke. But there's these pesky rules out there that the federal government has in place that say, well, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. Now, sometimes the powers that be don't like us doing that, and I don't really care what they like. The law says we can do it, and we do it. And so if you are concerned about protecting assets from long-term care, maybe you have somebody in a nursing home right now and you're paying that kind of money out and you want to know your options, well, give us a call. We do free consults on that stuff. 724-841-1393 is the phone number, 724-841-1393, or check out the information at secularlawfirm.com. Download our free Medicaid guide. We'll teach you all this stuff. But there are things, the takeaway for today, we've done previous episodes on some of the things that you can do to protect money. Okay, so that content is out there. But what I want to talk about today is an interesting thing that happens when families are asked to make a care decision. Okay, so when you need these levels of care, right? It's a little bit more complicated than the way I'm going to lay it out, but I'm going to lay it out like this. There are two avenues here. The first avenue is what I'll call the a la carte menu. When I need independent living, I'll go to a place that requires that level of care. When I need personal care, if I need personal care, I'll go to a place that provides that level of care. I'll go to a standalone personal care home. If I later need to transition to skilled nursing, I'll go to skilled nursing and I'll find a facility at that point in time. So I'm paying this level at this, I'm paying this amount of money at this level of care, and then I'm paying this amount for this level of care. And if I ever need this level of care, I'll pay more. Okay. Then there's what I affectionately call the extra value meal, where the community will approach you with a scenario where, look, wherever you come in on the tier of care, we're going to have you sign a contract. And there's good things and there's bad things in a contract. The good things are we're going to provide care. The bad things are the costs. And so here's the thing. Some of these places have buy-ins, right? Now, I want to caveat all of this with two caveats. One, I am not today giving you legal advice. You're not my client, all right? I would love for you to become my client, but you're not my client. This is general information, and your situation may vary from the fact pattern I'm about to lay out. So do not make legal decisions based on what you hear on this or any other radio show, okay? I got to do that because I am concerned people might make decisions based on this radio show. And they could be bad decisions. The second is I'm not telling you which way to go, Okay. And I'm not telling you whether one is better than the other. What I'm telling you is there's a couple of different ways to handle this. All right. And I want to also preface it with, in all of these situations, we start with the question, what care does dad or mom need? All right. You start with the care. You don't start with the cost. You start with the care. Because our duty, my duty as an elder law attorney, is to help people get the care they need. And if I can help them get the care they need without going broke in the process, well, then that's a win-win. But first and foremost, we want to get them the care. Okay? So those caveats aside, what I'm calling the extra value meal is it's a technically licensed community care retirement community. And the way that these institutions operate is sometimes there's a big buy-in, sometimes there's long-term commitments, but what they're promised to you is, you know, some formula of, if you come in paying this and your care needs increase, we won't jack up the prices but so much, or you'll know what they are in advance. And then one of the promises that they make is, if you ever run out of money, we're a nonprofit and we've got this benevolent care fund, okay? And if you run out of money, we'll pay for you, okay? And these institutions, as I understand it, most of them are nonprofits, can't see their books. But as I understand it, they do pay out for benevolent care, all right? But here's the deal. Let's just give them the benefit of that doubt for a second. I've got some questions around it and certain fact patterns I've seen about why didn't the benevolent care pay for this or that. But that, all that aside, okay? Here's essentially, you know, my take on the deal. If you pledge to give us all your money over time, if you run out of money, okay, is the way they say it. Like if you outkick your coverage, if you live here so long you're out of money, we'll take care of you. Okay, we'll keep you in care. Fine. Okay. But do you want that deal? Meaning, it sounds an awful lot to me like what they're telling me is like an insurance company telling me, if your house burns down, we'll give you an apartment. You'll have a place to live. I don't want an apartment. I want the value of my house, right? I don't want to run out of money. I didn't work my entire life, 30, 40, 50, 60 years saving money to give it to you guys. What do you mean if I run out of money, you'll take care of me? I don't want to run out of money. Tell me how I don't run out of money. Tell me that. And ask that question to a continuing care retirement community and listen to the crickets, right? Because that's the deal. Now, if you like the deal, take the deal. But understand that's the deal. There are other deals. And what I'm talking about is, if you don't sign the contract, okay, if you say no thank you, okay, and I'm not telling you, please, go sign the contract if it's the right thing for you. For a lot of people, it is. These are beautiful facilities. My understanding, they provide great care, okay? So sign a contract if you want to sign a contract. But understand that if I end up going to skilled nursing, my suspicion is a lot of the people that run out of money when they're in skilled nursing, well, the community is applying for Medicaid benefits. They're not using the benevolent care fund. I would imagine the situation where the benevolent care fund kicks in is if dad never needs skilled nursing, he stays in a personal care side of the house, we'll pay for his care if he runs out of money. But then they're really good at math, and is dad going to run out of money at $5,000 or $6,000 a month? You know, so there's that question. But I just wish it was more clearly communicated that, well, yeah, we'll pay for your care unless you're in skilled nursing when you run out of money. Then the state's going to pay for your care anyhow. Because what's going to happen, what happens is this. I advise my clients to protect assets from long-term care expenses. All right. We use trust. We use different techniques. We do different things. All right. A lot of the things that we do may be violations of this contract. Okay. So there's a natural give and take here. Now, some of these places I've got a great relationship with. I've sat down with the CFOs of some of these big organizations that you would know, and we work out deals for our clients, and it's a great situation. But we're usually working out those deals after my client has already signed something that is not necessarily, in my opinion, a great idea for the particular client. All right. So let's take our conversation away today from the CCRC and just say, well, if I did the a la carte menu and I paid for personal care when I need personal care, and if I paid for and if I ever need to go to skilled nursing, I'll avail myself of the skilled nursing. Now, I don't have the pledge that if I ever run out of money, they'll take care of me. But if I ever go to skilled nursing, there are things I can do to become eligible for Medicaid and protect assets without going broke. And so maybe that's a better financial situation, right? And my main point in telling you all of this is I want you to understand there's a couple of different methods here. The continuing care retirement community, which are extremely popular, okay, and they're big and they're beautiful. They got the golden chandeliers and the fireplaces in these places. They're beautiful. But it's not the only option. And if, you know, if it's me, I'm going to take it away from some of this. If it's me and I have advanced dementia, okay, and if I could step back from the situation, get up on a balcony and look down at myself having Alzheimer's disease, and I'm don't know where I am, and I don't know who you are, and I don't know who my spouse is, and I don't know what's going on, okay? And all else being equal, I'm getting good care. Well, then, all else being equal, I'd prefer my wife doesn't go broke based on my care. I had a conversation recently with a person that works at a CCRC, and I said, well, I'm trying to work a deal with you, and we likely will work out a deal, but I'm trying to work a deal with you. And she's friendly. She's friendly. Okay. This is not a knock on it. This is just, and she said, well, I said, I don't want my client's spouse going broke because of the dementia. And she says to me, well, he won't go broke. And I said, well, the state's going to allow him to keep $130,000, but this is a fellow that owned a business and worked his entire life, and he has some real dollars. You be the one to tell him $130,000 after a lifetime of work isn't broke. Oh, and by the way, they're going to end up taking a lot of her income anyway. So the $130,000 he's allowed to keep might not last that long anyhow. So, and I said, you tell him. I'm not telling him he only gets to keep $130,000. I know there's things we can do to protect more money than that. You tell him he can only keep $130,000. What I should have asked her was, if it were you and if it were your spouse, would $130,000 be a good deal for you? And I suspect we would have had a different, the conversation might have ended pretty quickly. But here's the thing, in what I want you to understand. What I want you to understand is this. I've seen contracts from long-term care communities that cause me concern, all right? There are some things that they slide into these contracts. Not all of them, okay? There's not everybody's a bad actor, but and I don't think most of them, you know, have really considered it. But there's a couple of things that they slide into these contracts that if you sign them, you've signed a contract. But under the law, they cannot require you to sign, all right? So one of the things is third-party guarantees of payment. Be real careful before your kids, if you're signing off on a power of attorney, be real careful in signing anything that says, I'll take care of mom. Have an attorney review that. Another thing that they slide into these contracts are optional arbitration agreements. All right, now, let's talk through that a second. What an arbitration agreement is if you ever decide to sue me, we are going to go through this other process called arbitration where we don't get a jury. It's a more structured negotiation that tends to work out in lower settlements, more or less. Okay. So with an arbitration agreement in the nursing home, what we're signing is something that says, if my dad dies as a result of your negligence, true negligence. I'm not saying dad dies. I mean, people die in nursing homes. We're talking about taking care of really sick people. But if my dad dies because of your negligence, we're going to arbitrate rather than full-blown lawsuit. But they're not allowed to make you sign that. But you can elect to sign it. And it's usually in the contract. And there will be language that says you don't have to sign this. But you slide this 40-page contract in front of a little old lady who's just trying to get her husband care. And she doesn't have the benefit of an attorney sitting next to her. And does she know not to sign it, right? And so I just, this whole system, this whole long-term care system is broken. And I'm not mad at any individual players in this game. The game is broken, right? So I'm a player in the game being an elder law attorney. My job, as I see it, is get the people the care they need without going broke in the process because of these stupid rules, right? That's my role. Care facilities have the role of providing enough staffing and enough medicine and enough nutrition and enough care and enough things to take care of people. And I understand that that business is expensive. I understand that the cost of hiring a nurse and a CNA and doctors has gone up, and it has gone up dramatically in the last 12 months. It is really hard to hire anybody. You ask anybody, myself. We have 4 job positions open at my law firm, and I can't find people, right? Nursing homes have it even worse. We cannot find people to take care of people because the government's giving people free money right now. Fair. I get it. The game is broken, not the players. Okay, and a lot of the time, what I find is even with these player the CCRCs, which look, I may even enter a CCRC one day, but I'm going to be very careful with the contract. But they're generally nice people. They're generally humans with a heart, but they've got their own professional pressures. They've got their own business pressures. They've got their own bottom line pressures. Now, you know, nonprofits aren't supposed to have bottom lines, but there's, you know, now set that aside for a second. My opinion is this. If you have a loved one that needs long-term care or is receiving long-term care, you are in an extremely complicated game. You are in an extremely complicated new rule book, and you don't know the rules. And oftentimes, the people explaining the rules to you are the people on the other sideline. And maybe you want to hire a coach. Maybe you want to hire a coach. We may advise you to sign the contract. It's in your best interest. We may advise you this is a great deal. We may advise you, here's my concerns. We may advise you, maybe you need to shop around a little bit. We may advise you a lot of things, but we're going to take the approach of saying we've got to help dad find the right level of care. And if we can find dad the right level of care without mom going broke in the process, well, I see that as a moral and ethical, flag to carry, and I'm happy to carry it. And if you got questions about any of this stuff, if you want some guidance, check out our materials we provide for you at seclerlawfirm.com, S-E-C-H-L-E-R, lawfirm.com. And there you'll find a free Medicaid guide. You'll find a Medicaid workshop that you can watch where I explain how some of the rules of this game are played. You'd have to be involved in hundreds of cases over 10 or 15 years to understand most of the rules. And I've still learned stuff about the different avenues that you can do. But we've got some really good attorneys on our team who can sit with you and explain the situation you're in and what moves you have. And if any of that registers as important to you, give us a shout. Our phone number, 724-841-1393. Or you can check us out at seclerlawfirm.com. And if you've got a loved one in a long-term care setting and you're wanting to know if there's anything you should do, we provide free consults in that situation. And we're going to help you. Perhaps we're going to tell you to sign the contract. Perhaps we're going to tell you, look, this is the best place for you. This is the best care for you. We enlist the help of nurses, private nurses that come and give us an assessment of dad that says, is personal care right or is skilled nursing right? Because it's amazing how many times if you take a senior with some health issues to a personal care home, the personal care home will tell you, yeah, we could take care of him here. He's on a higher tier of care, but we could take care of him here. We can do this. But if you took the same senior on the same day to a skilled nursing facility, the admissions people there would tell you, yeah, we can take him. We can serve him here. He qualifies for care here. We can do that. And so which do you choose? Do you choose personal care at a higher tier, or do you choose a skilled nursing facility? And the question is probably dependent on what are the exact things that are going on, which is another game you don't understand the rules to. How much physical therapy does this person need? What kind of rehab do we need here? What kind of services do we need? And so we enlist the help of long-term care professionals to help us figure that out and give us an independent opinion. Can dad be served in the home? What are the resources here? Maybe we don't have to go to a community. Maybe we can be served in the home. What are the resources available? Can we get Medicaid to pay for care in the home? What about the LIFE program? You know, there's, and we've done other episodes on the LIFE program, which is a fantastic opportunity. And so, I urge you to enlist the help of a tour guide on this because, I don't know the first thing about lacrosse. Lacrosse is getting more popular in the community where I live. Like, our local high school has a really good team. But I don't know the first thing about lacrosse. I grew up in West Virginia. We don't do lacrosse in West Virginia. Maybe they do now. Where I grew up, there was no lacrosse in West Virginia. And if I walked onto the lacrosse field right now, I wouldn't know what was going on around me. And that's got to be about the same feeling when people walk into the long-term care world. They don't know what's going on around them. And so enlist the help of some people. I want to thank all the folks that showed up before we get off here. I want to thank all the folks that showed up at the Alzheimer's Walk in Cranberry last weekend. It was a big success. Still need to raise a little bit of money. So go to ALZ.org if you want to donate. We're a little short of our goal this month or this year. And so we're looking to push it over the finish line there. And the Pittsburgh Alzheimer's Walk is coming up in a couple of weekends. I don't have the date handy in front of me, but be on the lookout for that. It's an awesome event. It's a feel-good morning, and you can help raise some money for a very good cause. All right. Thanks for listening this week, folks. Remember, don't make any legal decisions based on what you heard on the radio show. Give us a call if you got a legal problem, and we'll point you in the right direction. Have a great week. Thanks.
This has been the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great plans. SecklerLawFirm.com or call 724-841-1393.